Well, good morning and welcome back. This is the Faith Radio Network. She's a florist from Washington State who is being persecuted by her state government and the ACLU for simply holding true to her Christian convictions. This morning, we'll hear the whole story of floral designer Baronelle Stutzman and how her case should concern every follower of Jesus Christ. Joining us is attorney Christian Wagoner. She's senior counsel for the nonprofit legal organization Alliance Defending Freedom. Good morning, Kristen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So some of our Faith Radio listeners may be familiar with this case, but my guess is many are not. So let's back up and start at the beginning. Who is Baronelle Stutzman, and why are her beliefs about God and using her talents to glorify Him through creative artistry so controversial?
Well, they shouldn't be, but Baronelle Stutzman is a 72-year-old grandmother. She grew up in a small area called the Tri-Cities area. She worked with her mom in the floral industry and has been in that industry for about 40 years now, eventually taking the business over from her mom when her mom got Alzheimer's. And she's just continued to work in that city, in the floral industry. She's won all kinds of awards for, I think, because she's just the kindest, nicest woman in the world. When you walk into her shop, you will get a hug. You will be greeted warmly, and her goal is to ensure that no matter what you look like or how you talk or who you are, you're greeted with kindness and love, and that they retain customers from birth until death. And so that's really how she treats her customers. And in terms of her beliefs and why they're so controversial, she had befriended a gay man, Rob Ingersoll, and served him for about 10 years. Doing all kinds of custom design arrangements. So those are designs that he specifically asked her to create from nothing, not things out of the cooler, but for specific occasions. And she just loved to do that work for him, and really they created a friendship together. But when Washington decided to change its marriage laws and recognize same-sex relationships, he asked her to do his wedding. And she just knew, after praying about it, that that wasn't something she could use her creative skill set and her creative artistic talents to participate in, because that's what she felt she would be doing, would be participating in a religious ceremony that violates her beliefs that marriage is between one man and one woman.
How did Rob react when she told him that she would not be able to participate in the wedding and provide the flowers?
You know, even the whole conversation seemed to go very well from both of their accounts. She knew that he would be coming in to request this because he had come in previously when she wasn't in the shop and told another employee that he wanted to ask her to do his wedding. So she knew he was coming in. She caught him in the corner of the store in a quiet area, took his hand. And if you ever see Baronelle on YouTube or somewhere else, you just know there's this genuineness about her. So she just gently told him, I can't do your wedding because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And they continued to talk. They talked about his wedding, about how he got engaged, about whether his mom would walk him down the aisle. And she referred him to three florists that she knew would do a good job for him. They hugged before he left the store, and she thought that they had just had a very difficult conversation but had continued to maintain a friendship.
So what happened next?
Well, shortly after that, Rob Ingersoll's partner, Kurt Fried, had posted something online that basically went through what had happened and said, you know, we believe that Baronelle has the right to do this, but we want our friends to know that she's not doing same-sex weddings. And the attorney general somehow got a hold of that and then sent her a certified letter to her home and said, you will either do same-sex weddings or you will need to stop doing all weddings. And if you don't, we will sue you.
Is that because Washington State has a so-called anti-discrimination law?
Well, that's what the attorney general said, although his claims are fairly unprecedented. He didn't actually sue under that law. He sued under the Consumer Protection Act, which we've seen no state in the nation use the law that way, nor has Washington State's attorney general ever tried to use that law that way. But the crux of it does come down to a claim that he says she discriminated. But that's a false claim because she served Rob Ingersoll for nearly 10 years, and she simply couldn't promote a message and create artistic expression about marriage that she believes to be untrue. And so her objection is not to the person, but to the message in that particular ceremony.
Can you explain the concept of compelled speech and how the First Amendment should actually protect us from being forced to say or do something that we're opposed to?
Well, sure. The First Amendment has been referred to many times in all different ways, but including such glowing language as a majestic guarantee, as really the linchpin for our pluralistic democracy. And compelled speech falls under that First Amendment protection. We as a nation have said that the government cannot force someone to speak, and they cannot force them to be quiet, that it cannot interfere with expression. We have also said that the First Amendment is a part of that, protects artistic expression. And that includes things that are different mediums that are not included in perhaps words or in the spoken word or the written word, but even abstract art or atonal music, things that, you know, for those of us who aren't quite so artsy, don't understand what the purpose even is of the artist's expression, that's still protected. And Baronel's creations for wedding designs, those are artistic expressions. They're created out of nothing. They use the same components as what abstract art uses. And the government is trying to force her to use her creative talents and her artistic soul to create something that violates the core of who she is. And that violates the compelled speech doctrine.
Mm. And, of course, that would apply to all of us, regardless of how we might express ourselves, whether it's through art or through writing or through vocal speech. Give us a brief history of the case from there and how it ended up before the Washington State Supreme Court.
Well, Baronel said that she would not give up the work that she's loved and done and feels called to for the last 40 years. And so the attorney general sued her. Shortly thereafter, the ACLU contacted the same-sex couple and convinced them to sue as well. So they filed a lawsuit. And the really astounding part of it is both the couple and the attorney general sued Baronel, not just her business, but in her personal capacity, which was completely unnecessary and very spiteful and vengeful. If this was about establishing a legal principle, they could have done that by simply suing the business, but they chose to go after her and put everything she owns at risk in this lawsuit. And that's to send a message to not only the state, but to the nation, that if you don't bow to the government's ideology on these issues, you will pay a tremendous price.
So much for tolerance. my gracious.
Well, it's supposed to be a two-way street, but it's sure not here.
Our guest is Kristen Wagoner. She's senior counsel for the nonprofit legal organization Alliance Defending Freedom. We'll take a quick break and hear what happened before the Washington State Supreme Court 2 weeks ago after this break here on Faith Radio. Welcome back. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest is Kristen Wagoner. She's senior counsel for the legal organization Alliance Defending Freedom. We've had some of their attorneys on in the past and just have great love for this great organization, ADF. We've been talking about the case of Baronel Stutzman. She is a grandmother, a florist from Washington State, who has been basically sued by the state attorney general and a gay couple and the ACLU for holding to her religious convictions. And even though she served a gay client who was her friend for 10 years, opted not to participate in his same-sex wedding. That's what this is all about. 2 weeks ago, this came before the Washington State Supreme Court. Kristen was there and participated in oral arguments. Tell us, first of all, what you said, and you and your co-counsel said to the justices during that hearing.
Well, the hearing took place in Bellevue College. The court was traveling, and it was quite encouraging. There were about 500 supporters that showed up for Barinow, and they packed the auditorium. And the judge's questions in an oral argument, it's not so much about what you want to say, but what answering the questions that the court gives. And we were peppered with questions the whole time. But those questions seem to really focus on this artistic expression notion and free speech and what it means to have free speech and what the limits are. Among the other things that we shared was just explaining how Barinow's arrangements are artistic expression and the core principles that are at issue. We have always protected speech, even when we find it offensive or hurtful, because that's how you protect a pluralistic democracy. It's how you ensure there's diversity and rich intellectual individualism. So the court hearing really focused on those types of principles. And then when the attorney general had his turn, his time actually was quite revealing in terms of talking about how far the government's willing to go and just how much power the government was wanting to take for itself.
Did the justices seem to in any way undermine what the attorney general was claiming? Again, this was under the consumer protection law. That's how he filed this particular lawsuit. What were their questions for him?
Well, their questions mainly focused on where is the line? How far, how much can the government force someone to do before it violates the First Amendment? And essentially, what Bob Ferguson, the attorney general, argued, he said, you can have your faith to believe, but you do not get faith to, you cannot act on that. So you have your faith to believe, but you cannot act on those beliefs. The government can stop you from acting on that. And obviously that's true in the sense of you can't hurt someone, but he was saying, there's really no limit to what the government can stop you from doing, even if it's a part of your religious convictions.
Did the justices challenge that notion?
You know, I don't know that they challenged that particular notion, but what they did challenge was when he said, if you sell expression in any form, if you open a business, no matter what that business is, the government can tell you what to do and what not to do just by the fact that you've tried to earn a living. And they found that very surprising. Much of the questioning focused on that. So, for example, under the government's interpretation here, this law could force a Democratic speechwriter to have to write speeches for Donald Trump. It could force a voiceover, someone that does voiceover commercials to have to do something that violates his convictions. It could force a Muslim web designer to have to promote a Jewish Friends of Israel group. It could force an African-American man to have to promote the KKK and create graphic designs. It just turns the law on, our protections for free expression on their head. The government in this case actually said that it had the authority to force someone to write poetry that would violate its convictions, that would violate the poet's convictions.
That is stunning. Now, this is not the only case of this type that the ADF is involved in. Can you just briefly tell us about some of the other creative professionals that your legal organization is working with? And some of these individuals have taken preemptive action to protect their business from possible legal attack by officials in their state or the city where they live.
Sure. Well, there are a number of cases around the nation right now. First of all, in more of a defensive action, there's a hearing in just the next 2 weeks in Hands on Originals, which is in Kentucky, where the government there tried to force a T-shirt printer to have to print an offensive message for an LGBT pride parade. And he had turned down all kinds of work in the past that violated his convictions and that weren't at all related to sexuality, but just, offensive messages that he wouldn't design. So that hearing is before the Court of Appeals in Kentucky. We also have 303 Creative, which is a lawsuit in Colorado involving a web designer. That's one of those pre-enforcement challenges in that these people are facing, like Barinow did, the threat of losing everything they own if they wait for the government to sue them. So in a pre-enforcement challenge, the web designer is asking the court, I should have my First Amendment rights. Please declare essentially that I am protected, rather than forcing me to put everything I own at risk in order to work and live consistent with my convictions. And the last one I'll just mention is our Brush and Nib case, which is in Arizona. That case is on appeal too, and that involves hand painters and calligraphers who are willing to do all kinds of work, but they simply can't participate in same-sex wedding ceremonies. But they have to turn down other work too that's, again, unrelated to sexual orientation, but they just want to simply peacefully live and work and create art that is consistent with who they are and what their religious beliefs are. And so they've asked the court to affirmatively confirm that their First Amendment rights matter and that they're protected and can't lose all that they own, like Baronelle has right now being threatened with.
Now, Kristen, we are so thankful for the ADF and for your support of these individuals, these businesses around the country that are simply trying to stand up for their religious convictions. And we look forward to talking to you again when we get a resolution of this case in Washington State. May God continue to guide you and direct you and your colleagues in your wonderful work at the Alliance Defending Freedom.
Well, thank you. Thanks for all the work you're doing. And it's just a joy to be able to represent good quality people.